Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help.
When I was young, hello and Merry Christmas. This is Bill Arnold with George Fraser. We're the co-hosts of Real Recovery, but more than anything, George, we want to wish every listener today a very happy and merry Christmas.
Correct. It's George P. Fraser.
Didn't I say, did I drop the P?
You missed that. First time in 11 years.
Wow. I feel really bad.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
No, so thank you.
Well, merry Christmas to you,
thank
Billy.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
Get you anything this year.
Well, I know, because here's the problem. When you pull a 20 out of your wallet, Ben Franklin squints. Because it hasn't seen daylight in so long that he squints like you're in a matinee and you come out and it's still light out and you know how your eyes are? That's how your money is when it comes out of your wallet.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised you didn't get me anything.
The last time I tried to pull it out, it almost ripped. It's been in there so long. So
yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to be here and love the holidays.
Yeah.
I think we can really get distracted on what they mean, though. And today we want to talk about what it really means, and that's that our Savior was born at this time.
Yeah, we're going to spend time talking about that very subject, because at Real Recovery, as much as we love talking about stories of redemption from drugs and alcohol and other addictions, none of that really matters unless you come to saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And there's plenty of people listening tonight or today. Yesterday or this morning. Where you are caught up in a lifestyle that is not working for you. And you need to have inspiration and you need to have tools. But more than anything, you need the Jesus Christ in your life.
You know, there are other people, and well said.
I was trying to warm up there. I was going to really deliver the goods.
Oh, it's cold out.
It's very cold.
And you get so distracted because you love Christmas. And I know I've been to church with you on Christmas Eve, and then we went to eat at Perkins.
That was so depressing. Christmas Eve, we were eating at Perkins, you and me.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that's real recovery right there. But I think there's a lot of people who listen, guys, who have gotten sober or solved their gambling problem, but they don't know the Lord. And if that's you tonight, well, we've got some good news for you, and that's Jesus, and we're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're leaving a lot of things on the table, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a peace of God that passes all understanding. And you really don't know it until you have it. But if you lose it, you certainly know you have it. Mm. And every time I would stumble, I was a Christian before I got sober, and I relapsed off and on for 7 years. The first thing that would happen is the noise in my head would start again when I use. And if you're an addict, alcoholic, you know what I'm talking about. That peace was gone. And that's the most precious thing I have, is I have a relationship with the living God, not a God who was alive 2,000 years ago and wrote a book. It's not a fairy tale. It's actually reality. And it is a miracle because it is too good to be true. But that doesn't mean it's not true. It is.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be joined tonight by our good friend, Dr. Tim Walsh, who's the chief of behavioral health strategies and solutions at North Star Regional. And we're going to
Whoa. Did he get put on waivers from his old job? He got traded.
He got traded.
Okay.
For a pick. And then
Six-round draft pick. Well, you had that big contract, and they had to come up against the cap, so they had to get rid of you.
The substance use disorder treatment draft,
Well, Tim.
Well, when you were younger, you were a promising player, and they signed you long-term.
Exactly. Well, I still got a little tread on my tires,
Yeah. And Tim, welcome to the show, of course.
Thanks, Bill.
Tim is formerly with Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. If you remember him, many times that he's presented on our show, he was there, but now he is with North Star Regional. And I don't want to spend a lot of time there, Tim, but tell us what you're doing there.
Yeah, so the chief of behavioral health means that we're right now, actually, we do treatment, we do recovery, we do outpatient, we do residential treatment, we do what's called intensive outpatient with lodging. Aftercare services, peer support services, so the whole continuum of services. And we are now at this point where we're going to expand across the region, the metro area. And so my job is primarily new things. It's to help grow and expand North Star Regional. And I just need to throw in that North Star also is, we do spiritual integration. In other words, we respect people's faith.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's a Christian, they're going to get Christian counseling. And that's where we come from. That's called responsivity. You know, that's the big term. But it's what we try to do is we take people where they're at. And some people aren't ready to go right into a faith-based approach or a gospel, you know, straight gospel in terms of how that relates to their recovery. And so you take them where they're at. And whatever spirituality means to them, whatever faith means to them, you take them where they're at, you respond to where they're at, and then you help them to get to where they both want to and need to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk about your spiritual needs, your spiritual longings tonight. And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and we want to read the Christmas story right out of Luke chapter 2. So, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I will go ahead and read that.
Oh, I'd love it.
Great. And, yeah. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel gave him before he was conceived. And that is the end of this reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 all the way through 21.
It's good.
Can we open the presents now?
Dad.
Yeah, we can certainly do that.
That was great, Billy. And we can blow right by that because of all the distractions. And that's really what our life is all about, is right there. It's about Jesus and recovery. And maybe for you, if you're struggling, you needed to hear that just like the rest of us, to remind you really that you do have a Savior and you do have a way out.
So
and
good.
Before that, you were in trouble, but you're not now. And if you're hearing this tonight and it's hitting you, that's the Holy Spirit convicting you and showing you a way out. If you got God working for you, who can be against you?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. And of course, what it says is that Jesus' name, Yeshua,
mm-hmm.
Yeshua, and his name means to save, to heal, and to deliver. And I know everyone listening knows I need to be saved. I need to be healed. I need to be delivered. And so he comes as the Messiah and the Mashiach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as the Messiah, he is the person then that God has sent for that very purpose. And then it leads off with good news of what? Great joy. Good news of great joy that he's come. And what stood out to me, Bill, as you're reading that, is the phrase, all people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just his people, like the Jewish people, all people. The good news is for all people. And, of course, we see that we got the shepherds that are showing up. And I don't know, I bet you most of our listeners actually relate more to the shepherds than anybody else. And then finally, you have then God coming as man, Emmanuel. You have God, he's God and man. He is Emmanuel. And so it's just, I mean, that's, you put that all together, and that is good news. That is the gospel. That's the good news.
Mm-hmm. And George, you have said many times that getting out of addiction is, unless there's a transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, most likely you're not going to be very successful. Now, I know plenty of people that have remained sober without Christ, but there's not many, is there?
Well, I think a lot of people mistake chemical abstinence for sobriety, okay? And chemical abstinence is not using mood-altering chemicals anymore. Sobriety is abstinence, not using mood-altering chemicals, but a change in your life. And if we look in Ephesians, we have to put off the old and put on the new. And most people try to put off the old, and that's why they don't stay sober, because they miss it. The reason we have treatment centers, to be very honest, is you don't want to quit. I didn't. Nobody does. We love it. We know it's killing us. But that's all we have. That's our solution. That's our go-to. And as bad as things are, if that leaves, I don't know what I'll do. I'll either use, go insane, or die. Well, you're wrong. And the faith comes that this is real. And it's like swimming. You don't stick your toe in the water. You got to dive in. Ask God into your life. And if you're thinking about it, you're listening to us going, yeah, maybe it's not me. It is you. As Dr. Walsh said, it's everybody. It's not just the Jews. It's not the people that are in the churches. And they're, I remember thinking, those guys are better than I am. They were.
Wow.
But I wasn't like that. I'm a lot more interesting than I still am. But when I asked God to come into my life, something changed. Build on that.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas to all of us here at Faith Radio, and Merry Christmas to you from Real Recovery, from Bill and George and Ryan. We're so happy that you tune in to Real Recovery and listen regularly. Today on the program, we just want to be sharing the hope that we have in Jesus with you. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Tim Walsh, who's our special guest tonight. Merry Christmas, and we are so glad that you've tuned in today, and we want to celebrate Christmas with you from all of us here at Faith Radio and Bill and George. Especially right now, we are the hosts of Real Recovery, and if you tune in, we always have conversations about recovery from addictions of all kinds and the transformational power of Jesus in your life. And thank you for listening and supporting Faith Radio. But tonight, we really want to talk to you about your faith and your place in life. Where have you placed your faith? Because we all have faith, and it all depends where you've placed your faith. Is it in yourself? Is it in your job or your relationships? Or is it in the living God, this Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who came to earth? We're celebrating his birthday, of course, this weekend. And are you placing your faith and trust in him, or are you trying to do it on your own? And George, there's a lot of people who have come through recovery who have really bad information about God. And the God that they heard about is not the God of Scripture.
And I heard you talk one time at the Salvation Army, and you're so good at it. And you talking to guys, Tim, about, tell me who you think God is. And you always would say to people when they're off, well, I really couldn't worship a God like that either. Do you want to hear about the true God? What a great intro. And I think you're right. We have misinformation. That's why we need to read our Bibles.
Well, yeah. The question is, tell me about the God you're not interested in or the God that you rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear stories like, well, my dad was abusive. You know, my mom died when I was young. How could I trust that God?
Yeah.
And they have legitimate reasons for thinking God is not good and God can't be trusted.
Yeah.
And that's usually the two biggest questions people have when it comes to their faith. Is God good and can he be trusted?
Yeah, that's right. And when we look at the goodness of God, I mean, what is the good news? What is the good news? That God has supplied the way for us to be saved, healed, and delivered. He's actually come himself in Jesus in bodily form. The incarnation is all about God has made the way now. God has made this bridge to himself for us to have a relationship to him. But more than that, that God has also provided a way for us to have love with one another, to be connected to one another, that he's also provided us a way to live a life that's filled full of hope and joy, serenity. And he's given us that way, and that way is through Jesus Christ. So he came, and he was the solution to the very problem of our condition. And I heard you say, George, that we often felt like we're not like other Christians, or they're better than us, and that kind of thing. But actually, the gospel is that we all have the same condition. We all have the human condition. We all need to be saved. We all need to be delivered from that nature, and we all need to be transformed. We all need to be transformed, not just by following Christ, but by being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? So that's the good news.
It's exactly right. I think, for me, I felt like an outsider. And Dr. Walsh, we put on our best behavior in church sometimes, and when you're bleeding and you're beat up, it makes you feel worse about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the recovery rooms are a lot what the first century church looked like.
It's true.
People are just glad you're there. And that helps a lot of people. There's some really good TV commercials that I've seen that Jesus loves everybody. I don't know if you've seen those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And we need to hear that, because a lot of times we see people that say they represent Jesus, and it's kind of interesting how they present that.
Yeah.
And we all fall short. I know I do. But God loves us enough. Romans 5:8, that God showed his great love for us, that while we were sinners, he sent his son to die for us. And I know for me, I've been sober a long time, and I'm old. I'm 65. And I think, God must really love me today because I'm doing this stuff. And then other days, it's like, no, I can't. And it's not a performance. He paid the price on the cross. He did say, though, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you want to do that, and you fall short, which we all do, you ask for forgiveness. And if we ask him, he's faithful to forgive us, and then you get going.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep moving on. The enemy wants to tell you, you know what, George? Yeah, this time you really did it.
Yeah.
No going back now. That's not biblical.
Mm-hmm. And there's people with spiritual blindness, and we want to be praying for you tonight, because there will be, you'll have no ability to see this truth until God draws you to himself. So that's our prayer and our desire for you this Christmas, that if God is drawing you, that you are hearing his call, that you are walking into this light that's being shown to you. You know, George, I always find it interesting when someone doesn't want the answer to be the answer.
Hmm.
Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me.
That's
okay,
right.
There's the answer. Then there's people that say, no, I'm not, I don't want that to be my answer. That might be your answer, but it's not mine.
My God wouldn't, you know, make that kind of requirement. Well, come on, and he wants me to love everybody, and everybody's good, and you get that answer.
You do get that answer.
And the reason I think it is, we don't want anybody telling us what to do. I want God to help me out and give me stuff and get me out of jams. He can't be your savior unless he's going to be your Lord. And that's where we all struggle, right?
Yeah.
But it's, the burden is light. You know, it's easy. But you got to have the faith enough to do it. I don't know anybody who's a Christian that regrets becoming a Christian. It's kind of like sobriety.
Mm.
I don't know anybody sober who goes, gosh, I really wish I was still using, you know? But I have never met anybody who was sober and went back to use and who goes, that was really a good decision on my part. It worked out so well. And we get to see that in our work. I remember thinking, if God's the only way, I'm in trouble. And I was right on both counts. Mm-hmm. But what I didn't realize is where I was in trouble was being my own God. And when I really got into trouble, I was thankful there was a God who loved mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of us that are in recovery, that's where we get to. We fight it all the way. And then you surrender, and it's a sweet surrender. That's why guys say they're cuffed in the back of the car. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. I'm showing you because this happened to me. And there's like, you know, I can quit using now. I can't explain that. I'm going to jail. Isn't that great? You've heard that from guys before.
I have. And they, in fact, they feel like that God, first of all, that God was sovereign in the way that they got arrested, they got detained, they were put in a cell. All that was there in the cell for them was the Bible, and that was it. Their only hope was found there. And so they then later say that that was God-ordained, that that was exactly what God had in mind, because there was no other way that they were going to turn away from that lifestyle.
You know, when that door shuts on you, I can still hear it. Hmm. I know you worked in the Department of Corrections for a while. And
three decades. Yeah. Pretty, in our width.
It's the greatest evangelical tool in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're really receptive. You are beaten into a state of reasonableness mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when that door shuts.
Yeah.
It's kind of a reality check. Mm-hmm. Well, you've gone, but you get to leave. So do I now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
Tim doesn't. He does too.
Well, if you have a condition, if you, let's say, stepped on a rusty nail this summer and you had to go get a tetanus shot, you got it because that was the only solution for the bacteria that came in your body as a result of stepping on a rusty nail.
That's right.
So there's one answer. You go to the doctor and the ER and they say, well, we just have to give you a tetanus shot. That's all.
Yeah.
But no one says, I don't want that. I'd rather have some Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to help. There's only one solution. There's only one answer.
Yeah.
And everybody says, I'll gladly take it. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to your spiritual life, you're going to be a lot slower to say yes to the only answer available, which is Jesus. He's the only answer.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. In fact, let me emphasize that. What is our condition, Bill? What is our condition? George had said we all fall short of the glory of God. Well, that's for sure, right?
Yes.
None of us are perfect. Okay, we all got that. Do all of us know what's right and not do it? That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
Do we all not act in faith? That's right.
Yes.
Do we all knowingly sin? That's right. Mm-hmm. We can just keep going, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we talk about depravity.
I think we got
but that's our condition. All of us, not just people in recovery, right?
No, you got me on the first one, so you're just piling on.
We're going to have to take a little break. But Merry Christmas. Thank you for listening to the show, and I hope you're having a wonderful day. And we're going to continue with George and Tim Walsh. We'll be back in just a minute. Merry Christmas. George, why don't you say Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas.
And Tim, why don't you say it too?
Merry Christmas.
There you go. We just got showed up, George. We can't top that?
No.
Do you want to try? I don't.
No. We're going to have him sing Silent Night when we go out at the end of the show.
Really?
So, yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, he can do that.
Oh, yeah, he can. He's got great pipes.
He does.
Yeah. Dr.
Tim. Oh, he looks pretty pumped now.
He
Give
is.
Him another Coke. Get some more sugar going.
Dr. Tim Walsh is,
ready
our,
to go.
Is our guest, and we're so glad that he's with us. And he is not only a friend, but he's the chief of behavioral health strategies and solutions at North Star Regional. You can learn more about Tim at northstarregional.com. And Tim, right before the break, we talked about Jesus is the solution, but why is Jesus the answer? Who is Jesus?
Right. So when we talk about who is it that can actually restore us to relationship to God? I mean, Jesus, first of all, it says that he was the Word at the beginning. which means before all time, before the foundations of the earth. And actually, it says that we were included in Christ Jesus before the foundations of the world, right? And then it goes on, and then it talks about when he was born, he was Emmanuel, which means he is God with us. He's not just a human being, he's God with us. But it was very important that he was a human being. Why? Jesus had to live the perfect life. And why is that? Because that is, there's only two choices, life or death. In order to have life with God, you have to live life in God. You have to live life in Christ, and you have to live life in the Spirit. And so when we talk about Jesus being God and man, but then he lives a perfect life, he lives a life that's totally satisfying of God's law and of God's will, and then what does he do, right? He dies for our sins, but actually our sins were placed on him, and it even says that we were in Christ. We're in Christ in his birth, we're in Christ in his life, we're in Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification. And we are placed with him, seated at the right hand of the Father, even now. That's our future, right? So this is, the Bible says over 250 times that when we have faith in Christ, we are in Christ. We're part of his body, part of his family, we are one with him. And that's what's essential. We have to be in Christ in his birth, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, and then to live with him in eternity. That's the whole point. The whole point is to be in Christ, and the only way to get there is to be in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Question. How could I be in his birth when I wasn't born yet?
You want me to handle that, Tim?
Go ahead.
I can do it after the show. Because I don't have enough time.
I got all day. I got all day.
Yeah. Well, we were called by him, and God in his omniscience knew us before we were born. I mean, we were knit together in our mother's womb, and he knew us, and he knew us from the beginning of time. It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, a mind outside this world created this world, so it shouldn't surprise us that we're confounded by...
And he's not bound by time
either. And he's not bound by time.
No. And what is it to God to place us within Christ? So the how is in a sense irrelevant. It's the fact that we are in Christ is what's important, and in that the Bible says we are in Christ. We are in Christ now. We are in the Spirit now, and we will be in Christ in eternity. That's what's important, and that's like I said, it's said over 250 times in 250 ways in the Bible that we are placed in Christ. We're actually part of Him. We are one with Him.
Can I ask another question, or are you going to
turn off
my mic?
No, go ahead, George.
Okay, I'm in Christ from the beginning. Why do I have to make a decision for Christ?
I have an answer, but you go ahead.
Oh, you go ahead, Tim. Yeah. I'll let you go first this time.
So, first of all, it says for all people, right? That was the good news, was for all people. And so Christ died for all people.
Okay.
And he died for all sins. And he died for all sins for all time, right? And so you are included in Christ in that way. And it's actually people who exclude themselves. They exclude themselves. When you don't believe, when you reject Christ, when you reject the Holy Spirit, you actually are rejecting the solution, as Bill was talking about. You're excluded. But he included you in his life. He included you in his death. He included you in your burial. And you can be included in his resurrection and the new life for all eternity. You can be. But it only happens through faith. Because if you don't have faith, what are you doing? You're actually rejecting that solution. You're rejecting him. You're not trusting. You're not obeying. And you're rejecting relationship with God then. So you're actually excluding, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I've just never heard it presented that way. Have you?
I have, yeah. I mean, the invitation is for all.
No, I get that.
Yeah. Not everyone would agree with that perspective.
Right.
Yeah, but I believe Jesus came to die for all.
Oh, I do too.
All.
That's interesting. I don't want to tie up the show with silence going, okay, we're going to take 10 minutes now and think about this. cue up jingle bells there, Ryan.
Well, we could if you want to do that.
No, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. And of course, God so loved the world, all of creation, right? And then so Jesus came representing all humanity, right? And so that's the good news. The good news is, and so especially if somebody feels like they've been on the outside, you know, what the Bible is saying is, no, Christ included you in his birth, his life, his death, right? He included you. Now, are you going to exclude yourself by not believing?
Not me.
Yeah, not me.
I'm in on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tim, what was your story when you made a decision to follow Jesus?
So I was a young man, and I was headed the wrong direction. I've already talked to you a little bit about this, Bill, in Georgia, that I grew up in a bad neighborhood, one of the worst neighborhoods in the United States. And I can only count three people from my age cohort, my peers, that made it out in some way. Most people ended up dead, institutionalized, in jail. I was just at the Fond du Lac Indian Reservation, where I grew up with a lot of these folks, and names on the obituary on the bulletin board, obituaries of people that have died that I grew up with, you know, and just the despair of that with how I grew up, and my life was heading in the wrong direction. I was a binge and episodic abuser, George. I used so much at least four occasions that I remember that I almost died. I got in situations where I almost died, and everything was heading in the wrong direction in my life, and I got down on my knees. And I said, and I didn't know the sinner's prayer. I got down on my knees and I just said, God, I screwed up my life. My life is yours. Do with you as you will. Whatever you want to do with my life is yours. That's all I said.
That is the sinner's prayer.
Well, I didn't know that. Yeah. And then the next week, I was a highly unlikely person to invite to Bible study. I had four people invite me to the same Bible study the next week.
Wow.
And at that Bible study, then I grew in my faith, and my whole life turned around. I mean, that's how I met my wife. That's how I went to Northwestern College back in the day. That's why I chose that. I wanted a Bible degree in addition to a psychology degree. So that changed my whole course and direction in life. That's why I ended up at Northwestern, and it did. And then that's why I started ministering back then as well. And I've been doing that ever since. It turned my entire life around.
That's really cool. And then you get to do this show, which has to be the cherry on top of the Sunday.
It
right,
is.
Bill?
Yeah, this checks off the bucket list, right?
You can be called home at any time now, Walshie. That, you know what? That's very cool. It's got to be when you drive up here every time, you got to reflect on that, don't you?
I do.
Whether you're teaching at the college, university.
I am. I'm an adjunct professor here as well.
Yep.
And so was I a likely candidate to be on this show? By the way, I think this is an incredible honor to be on your show. And was I a likely candidate to end up as an adjunct professor at the University of Northwestern St. Paul? Absolutely not. And that's what I'm saying. Everything changed. It's not that my life was problem-free, that I didn't struggle or anything like that. I've had amazing struggles in my life. I consider myself a mental health recovery, too. I've had times in my life where I was having significant struggles, and I was brought through those situations. So I feel like I'm in recovery in both of those ways. And so, yes, this has been amazing. Talk about the good news. Talk about the gospel. You know, talk about my thankfulness for Jesus being born and for Christmas. I mean, just amazing. Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm full of thankfulness. I'm full of gratitude to be sitting here in front of this mic.
Cool. We think it's an honor. We're on the show, too, and we always love having you. You've become our favorite guest. One bad show, and that could change, but, you know, it's we're grateful.
Conditional love.
Oh, it is. Yeah, that's us.
It's Christmas, George. You should be nicer.
Well, I have to tell the truth to people.
That's true. I appreciate that about you. Tim, very sobering when you're talking about the names on the boards of people that you grew up with and probably enjoyed friendships with that are now gone. And I think of our hearts as, you know, big wind-up clocks, and there comes a time when it takes its last tick, and then you face eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have the privilege of having a consciousness on your deathbed where you think, I think this is it, you can have this reminder of facing eternity. And I my desire tonight or today or this morning is that people will come to a place where they will open their hearts and receive Jesus in the simple way you did.
Yeah.
If you would repeat almost again what you cried out that day.
Yeah, yeah. No, and it doesn't have to be, but God's not looking for perfect. God's looking for your heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I said was, God, I screwed up my life. And God, my life is now yours, and take it and do with my life as you will. And God has taken my life and done with it as he will. You know, I don't always perfectly follow the will of God, but you know, getting filled with the Spirit and listening and having that communion, that fellowship, that intimacy with God every day, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's absolutely a beautiful, good, satisfying way to live, and that's the invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing, you've said many things that have really helped me a lot.
Yeah, thanks.
And the reason I'm not doing better is because of you, but we'll talk about that after the show. But one of the things you said, you know, it's when I look back, you and I almost died the same.
We did.
Same time. And can you tell our audience what you told the people that came to help you? Give a little background on what happened.
This is
so good.
This is so good. Yeah, it is. It is good. So it was amazing. So I went down. I had a really serious cardiac arrest while I was playing tennis, and they actually ended up having to revive me 3 times. The doctor said I was clinically dead. I was clinically dead those 3 times, and then just a miraculous series of interventions where finally I'm in the ambulance and I'm becoming conscious. And as I'm going into the emergency room, I start praying, and I said, you know, I'm saying, oh God, I knew the stats. I knew I had maybe a 5% chance to live. And as going in there, what I was praying is, I just want to be conscious, and I want to end well.
Ooh.
I want to end well. And so as I go in, now I'm perfectly conscious, and I look around at all the people that are working on me, and of course they're giving me the chemicals that'll keep me going, and they're trying to prep me for surgery and that kind of thing, and they're hoping not to lose me. And I looked around, and I just had, you know, peace is not. It was this. The better word is that blessed assurance. I had this blessed assurance that I'm all right. And so I looked at how frantic they were, and I was actually having compassion for them, and I was thinking, oh my goodness, you have to deal with this all the time, and you think you're about to lose me, you know, father of four, you know. And so I look at her on their desperate, and I just said to the whole room, as best I could, I said, don't worry about me. I said, if I don't make it, I know I'm a Christian, and I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. And everyone in the room, it was like the Spirit of God filled the room, and everyone calmed down except for this really frantic guy in the back, you know. And I'm like, come on, didn't you get the message? I actually started joking with the people around me, and they started calming down. They started laughing. And it really became a moment. It became a moment to just minister to those people in the emergency room.
Isn't that fabulous?
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I would have been yelling at them. Do your job. Don't want to go yet. You know?
You weren't that guy in the corner, were you?
No.
Okay.
No.
The frantic guy.
No.
Yeah.
Was that you?
No, it wasn't me.
No, that is, I remember the first time you told me that, and I thought, I just got blessed again.
Got too.
A little teary here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good time to change the subject so I can get back to reality, but that's what it's all about. If you can look death in the face, and I've been there too, and that's what you want to have because you are going to die.
Yeah.
That's such a great story. Thank you.
We'll take a break. When we come back, more with Dr. Tim Walsh and George. Merry Christmas. I never get tired of saying that. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and thanks for having us on. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, and Merry Christmas, Bill, George. Dr. Tim Walsh is our guest tonight. You can learn more about Tim at northstarregional.com. Just delighted to have him on as a friend, and we celebrate Christmas with you. And George, I don't know if you feel like sharing a little bit of your faith story. Mm. I mean, Tim shared his.
I don't want to.
Okay.
So we have 10 minutes. Cue the jingle bells. Well, what I would like to talk about is Christmas and getting sober for me. I was in a treatment center, and it was my third treatment. I lived a mile and a half away from the place, and I can see Bill's yawning already, but it'll get better, big guy. They wouldn't let me go home for Christmas, and just about everybody else left. And I had a resentment. In fact, I still kind of do 40 years later. One of the guys who worked there, and I can't remember his name, said, can I talk to you for a second? I go, sure. Go, I'll talk to you. Like, maybe I can help this clown out a little bit, you know? I mean, so mad. He goes, you're not going home for Christmas. I go, well, that duh, you know? Mm-hmm. And he goes, you're not happy about it. I go, you're brilliant. You know? You really got it going.
Captain Obvious, yeah.
You got the gift.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, well, did you ever think that at Christmas, maybe the best gift for you is sobriety, and you'll remember this Christmas the rest of your life because it's probably your first sober Christmas.
Ooh.
And you gave up going home to be sober for the rest of your life. Don't you think that's a win? Didn't know what to say.
That's so good.
Hadn't thought about that. Now, I used a couple months later, but I never forgot that. And that was my first sober Christmas since I was 15, right? And I think for me, Bill, I didn't want to get sober, but I didn't want the consequences. And I think that's why we have treatment centers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a part of you that's always going to want to use. And what happens is, and I go to a treatment center called Redemption House in Minnetrista, Minnesota, on Mondays and Fridays and take highly trained emotional support animal Bob, complete with Edmonton Oiler collar, who goes in and starts writing, throwing rights and lefts. And I was sick a few weeks ago, Tim, and I couldn't go, and I called the director, texted me back, the guys want to know if I can Uber Bob out to the treatment center. You know? So, I'm, you know, he's carrying me. But for me, what happened is I needed a heart change, and at Redemption House, they say we worship our way out of addiction for his glory and our joy. And the reason I go out is that sounds scripturally, but how do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you take what you read in the Bible about putting off the old and putting on the new? And I read a book 30 years ago, Wild at Heart, by John Eldridge.
Yeah, I'm aware of it,
That you worship everything you do. You're either worshiping God or yourself. Mm-hmm. And camping and golfing, did I mention golfing? And working out and all those things, playing tennis, are acts of worship. And I know Matt Chandler down at the Village Church says eating a steak for a Christian is more enjoyable than a non-Christian because we know who created it and what it is. So in all these things. And our good friend John Piper at Desiring God Ministries talks about being a Christian hedonist. A hedonist is one who has pleasure. That the Christian can have more pleasure because everything we do is an act of worship. And for me, that's a game changer. And basically how I got sober was through other people telling me that I needed to build a better life. And you give it to God, and you let go and let God. But I never knew what that meant, Billy. But what it means is you're responsible for the effort, not the outcome. We're all in, guys, and the only time we show any moderation at all is our walk with the Lord and our recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had to make this a big event deal because we have a big event, God. And I always thought I was a big event guy, and my using certainly was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get an 8-ball of Coke, a bottle of scotch, probably a carton of cigarettes, and a deck of cards, and I'm off. And my Christianity was an avoidance response. I'm not going to use. But we're a child of the King. We don't go through the garbage cans to eat, and we're not living on the street. We hold our head up. I get on my knees before a living God, but I look all men in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And what started to happen to me is I began to find people that I really like, Bill. And in about a year, took me 7 years to get 1 year of sobriety. And about a year, I got, you know, how did you do it, George? Well, I told them, you know, I didn't know that much then. And a couple weeks later, one of the guys in my group got one, and I felt almost as good for him as I did for me, and I thought something's happening. So here's what happens. You think your whole problem is drug and alcohol and gambling for me. And my problem was I was my own God.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is God allowed your addiction, if you're listening, to get your attention. Because he always was the only way. But with your addiction, he is the only way. And he allowed it to happen, allow him to set you free. And that's kind of what happened. And for me, I needed to get out of my recovery what I was trying to get out of my using. I love getting high. I love celebrating. Snappy patter, socializations. I started working out. I got the endorphin kick.
Mm-hmm.
I found a group of guys in an accountability group where I could actually be who I was. You know, not a double-minded man, unstable and all that he does, talks about like waves on the ocean. Okay, I'm around the church guys today. I'm this way. These are the using guys. These are my work guys. I didn't know who I was. And really what addiction does, it robs you of your identity, which is in God. And you become all things to all people. You're a chameleon. And they loved me before I liked myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it happened. I got it, and I wanted to share it with other people. And God's call in my life, like yours, Tim, and yours, mm-hmm. Billy, is I want to help people get sober and find Jesus.
Amen.
And that lights me up more than anything. People ask me, why do you live in Minneapolis? Because I got sober here, and I get to work at sobriety and finding the Lord here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take a vacation from that. John Piper, Don't Waste Your Life, about the seashell collection. This mm-hmm. couple retires. He's a great servant. And they spend every day in Florida. They're really rich. And they go and they get seashells. And then they wash them off and they got a collection. And Piper goes, you think when they get to heaven, they're going to go, hey, Jesus, look at my seashell collection. And it really convicted me.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to do work. We don't retire. So that's what I'm thinking about.
I like that. And now that we're on the topic of John Piper, I did read something this week that I caught my attention. He said that the night Jesus was arrested, the servants and officers had a charcoal fire because it was cold. That's John 18:18. And Piper said, on top of being mocked, spit on, smacked, crowned with thorns, beaten with rods, stripped, scourged, sleepless, on his way to die, it was cold.
Excruciating in every way.
He always makes things worse, doesn't he?
He's good at that.
I think so, yeah.
He is the reality that we don't want to hear
mm-hmm.
a lot of times. I went to his church for a long time, and I thought, come on, lighten up a little. No, he speaks the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, and it's really been a delight to be with you today on this Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I know we're going to have a lot to look forward to in the coming year, but for just today, and we want to wish you the most happiest, merriest Christmas. And I don't know where you're at in your life, what's going on in your head, what's broken your heart, what you might feel trapped by, if it might be a drug or alcohol or gambling or something else, that you can be free from the enslavement of sin, because that power is broken by this baby Jesus that was born, that we celebrate today, that he came to seek and save the lost and to free us from the enslaving power of sin in our life. So if you have never, ever said yes to Jesus and never put yourself in a place where you've come to him and said, I want to give my life to you. I want you to be the highest authority in my life, and I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I know that you will do it. And today I want to plant my flag to say, I am a Christian. So,
amen.
Good stuff, Billy.
Good stuff. That's the good news.
That is the good news. So thank you for listening to us tonight, and a special thanks to our friend, Dr. Tim Walsh, who has given us lots of his incredible gifts over the years, sharing his work in recovery, and we're so glad to have him here. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next year. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.